Once you notice the tiles, you start to see them everywhere. Along the Avalon Boardwalk, on benches, fountains, restaurants. Some are painted with classic island imagery. Fish, water, even the bison that roam Catalina's backcountry. Every now and then, there are tiles with birds. Colorful, curious-looking birds.
These are the classics here. You have the scarlet macaw six-tile mural with the pair of macaws. These are parakeets. That's a really popular and common mural. Over here is what we call the fantasy bird.
But there are no wild macaws on Catalina. No parakeets, no fantasy birds. So why are all these exotic birds pictured on these tiles? Jessica Zumberg knows.
This is the entrance, and if you...
She's showing me around a spot in Avalon Canyon, once known as Bird Park, or at least what's left of it. She's wearing a bright green cardigan and chunky glasses. It kind of reminds me of a cross between an art teacher and a librarian.
And you can see here, this is the main bird cage, the largest bird cage in the world. And it still stands. It's a preschool now, but when the park opened, this was the largest flight aviary.
We're standing in front of a huge metal wire cage. It's probably 50 feet tall and 50 feet wide. Pillars surround the cage. They're covered in mosaic bird murals. This cage used to be just one part of Catalina's famous bird park. It was once home to thousands of rare and exotic birds, king vultures, toucans, and even an Indian white peacock.
It had a little island in the middle with water spraying up and a moat that had swans swimming around and African cranes, other types of large birds that most people had never seen before.
William Wrigley Jr. owned Catalina Island. He built the bird park in 1929. The park closed just over 30 years later. It's now a school playground and a suburban-looking housing development.
Anybody who lives here is lucky. They're living in a piece of history.
Jessica's mission as a curator is to remind people of that history. To do this, she curated an exhibit at the Catalina Island Museum. It brings the story of Bird Park alive. It's for tourists who never knew it existed. It's also for the old-timers on the island who once visited the storks and penguins. The exhibit has photos, archival footage, and bird-themed pottery. It even mentions the Wizard of Oz. Turns out recordings of the birds from the park made it into the movie. You know that scary scene in the forest? When Jessica started putting together the exhibit, she found this story about Bird Park that very few people know.
And I first felt like I already knew the story because I've already done a couple exhibits to talk about Bird Park. But when I started digging into the research files, I started finding articles about this amazing man, E.H. Lewis.
Lewis worked for California Fish and Game. While Wrigley bankrolled the project, Lewis was the mastermind. And Jessica had never even heard of him.
And he was a really interesting person, way ahead of his time. And I had never heard that before in all the years, you know, and I wondered why. Even the old timers on the island, a lot of them didn't know about him.
Lewis originally pitched the idea as a pheasant farm. But once he had buy-in from Wrigley, he came clean. He wanted to help preserve rare and exotic birds. Wrigley was on board. The park eventually developed a breeding program and research facility. And the birds, they became local celebrities.
Jimmy the minor bird, you know, Rudy the cassowary, Alma the hyacinth macaw. If you showed up too early in the morning to talk to Jimmy, he would tell you to go away and come back after breakfast. It's too early.
Jessica told me the birds were a lot like the people on the island, just as eccentric.
Even the personalities of the birds, kind of spiky sassiness, you know, you still see that in the culture here.
She sought out some of Catalina's local characters for her research.
Well, one of the most rewarding parts about researching the history here is talking to people that actually lived through it. Yeah, you can't get that info anywhere.
One of her sources was 72-year-old Chuck Liddell, a Catalina native. He's showing me around the museum. He's actually featured in some of the photos.
This would have been about 1949 or 1950.
Do you remember this?
I remember this one, because that's what I always used to do. I always used to like to imitate the storks. because they used to like to cross their legs.
Chuck befriended one bird in particular that he visited every day. But after Bird Park closed, the birds were relocated to the LA Zoo. He thought he lost his friend forever until one day he visited the zoo.
I was sitting there and my friend, the bird, remembered me from Catalina and came over and landed on my arm.
But it wasn't just Chuck who developed a personal relationship with the birds. Jessica did too. She finds that the process of creating exhibits can become personal. She says it's one of the challenges of the job.
If you're making an exhibit about something, it becomes almost like an obsession where you're just eating, sleeping, breathing, dreaming about it while you try to fit everything together in a meaningful way.
But eventually, the exhibit has to come to an end. And for Jessica, that end can also be a moment of transformation.
It teaches you difficult skills, like learning how to let go of something. It's not gone, though, because now I have this interest in a new topic that I didn't know about before.
If you want to learn more about these famous birds, the Bird Park exhibit at Catalina Island Museum is on display through August 18th. Or just take a walk over to the old birdcage and imagine the swans and crowned cranes that roamed inside. Jessica tells me that she wishes she could have a time machine to travel back to Bird Park in all its glory in the 1930s. But thanks to her, we don't need one. On Catalina Island, for the Transom Traveling Workshop, I'm Muna Danish.